Okay.
Hello, we're recording pre-show.
Hello.
Hello, Lenny and Squiggy. This does a couple of things to continue to do it this way, even though I'm downstairs. One is it means I only have to use one computer.
That's
That's
nice.
convenient. And the other thing it does, it means I won't forget to start the video on Alpha Geek Media, which is probably a good thing too, because there's only one button.
Only one button.
So there you
You love everything. Well, I can't
go.
sing because it's recording.
You can sing
Because it's not on YouTube.
because it's not, well, yeah. Also, as long as you make a fair use of the recording.
Okay.
Oh, one thing I wanted to say about the Marketing Land story on line 15.
Yes.
I'm going to use that as an opportunity to remind people why we don't talk about politics on DTNS, because a lot of people just want a break from that, and it's not necessary, unless it is to talk about it, to talk about technology. But that doesn't mean you know what we think about it. Just because we're not talking about it, and maybe even mention, like, you can find out what Roger and I think about issues like that at East Meets West, and Justin has Politics Politics, and follow Veronica, I guess. I don't know if you want me to say anything there, but
It's pretty clear where I lean.
yeah, I think so. And I think for a lot of people it is, but I just want, I it's getting so divisive that it's I'm we're starting to get people like, why aren't you talking about this? And I'm like, because it's not technology. Like, it's important, but there's not a tech issue. So here's a tech issue. Here's an example of where, yes, we should talk about this, because this is, people deleting apps and all of that, and that bears directly on you as a consumer and the impact on the business. But when it's not about tech, we're not going to talk about that side of it.
Okay.
I'll just use that story as that opportunity.
Sure.
Don't get us sued by Disney for Tiki Room.
I'm not even doing it on key.
I know.
On,
Does that matter?
don't know. Can you do a really bad performance and they still sue you?
I think so.
Yeah, Tom was a little bummed that he couldn't ride the It's a Small World after all.
I was a little bit.
Why couldn't you?
It was closed because they're taking down all the holiday stuff.
Oh, they're just taking down the holiday
I
stuff.
know, right? Like, the clock still had the Santa hat on the outside.
That's funny.
Santa does.
Yeah, and the Jungle Cruise was down for the same reason.
The steamboat that doesn't go anywhere.
The Mark Twain. All right, let's start the video, because we're going to start early.
All right, let
Hello,
me.
video. I mean, hello, video. Now.
Now,
Now.
cow, cow, cow.
Mo.
That's an old Judge John Hodgman joke.
Oh, Judge John Hodgman. I nominate you for the Supreme Court of my heart.
Cow. That's an oldie.
Oldie but a goodie.
An oldie but a goodie.
Okay, smoky. Oh, you should. Oh, I don't want to say that on the stream, though.
Tippity tippity tap tap tap, tippity tippity tap tap tap. It's all I hear editing Sword and Laser episodes.
Oh, stop.
Tippity tippity tap tap tap.
Stop making me feel bad. You have super ears. No one else can hear anything you hear.
Don't believe that.
You're the
It's
only
okay. It's
one who
okay.
can tell when my speaker is on with the volume turned down. Like, I hear an echo. Like, you can't possibly hear an echo.
Belmont!
It's to
It's
your
true.
credit. You've got amazing ears. I've never ceased to be impressed.
I find crazy too. Because he has not great hearing.
SLC Josh is like, I hear you typing. Well, maybe you also have super hearing, SLC Josh. Or maybe my typing is that loud. I don't know.
Or are you literally, are you using like a Cherry keyboard? Like, what is your deal? What do you have over there?
I'm going to buy you. It's a Logitech K120. No. I am a loud typer though.
I'm going to just buy you a nice Apple keyboard with little squishy pads.
I'll make that loud too. I swear.
Ryan sound, his typing on the new MacBook Pro is like insane. It's like,
I do not like those Chiclet keyboards and never have. And they're, now that they have even less travel, it's like, ugh.
It's such a different sound from the old keyboards.
I know. Okay. Shall we get going with the old show then?
Oh, sorry. The air conditioning just came on. I have no control over it. Hopefully it's not too annoying.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Well then. Let's do this. Daily Tech News Show is powered by its audience. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, January 30th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt. Joining me, Veronica Belmont, back on a Monday. How are you been, Veronica? We missed you.
I'm good. Hi-de-ho. Happy Monday.
Hi-de-ho.
Happy
Monday to you, too. We're going to be talking about robots who make coffee. I could not imagine a better topic for us to talk about.
This is like basically Veronica podcast.
Veronica dream podcast.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but let's start off with the top stories. In light of a disappointing Q4 earnings, Fitbit announced it will lay off 110 people, 6% of its workforce. Fitbit sold 6.5 million devices in Q4, but saw revenues fall below guidance. CEO James Park said the slowdown was part of a transitional period. He promised the ability to deliver a more personalized experience and upgraded products, which will stimulate new areas of demand.
Oh, so, that's brutal.
Yeah, this is our first check-in on the wearables market since Fitbit had a disappointing Q3 and disappointing forecast more for Q4. So they didn't meet the expectations of those disappointing Q4 forecasts. That's bad.
That's bad.
He's not wrong that this is a transitional period. Remember, they've just bought a lot of companies, including Pebble.
Fitstar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have yet to see the payoffs from that yet.
And I wonder how much of this is also attributable to Apple Watch and just the proliferation of a lot more tracking devices out there on the market these days. I'm in a weird transitional phase right now where I wore a Fitbit since they launched and I'm no longer wearing it. And my Apple Watch broke, so I'm no longer wearing that. So I'm untrackable right now.
You're not at all true. Belmont.
But it is, you know, Fitbit's a great brand, and I think they've got a ton of smart people working for them, so hopefully they can find a way to turn this thing around, because they were really one of the first well-known brand names in the wearable market that really picked up any steam in the mainstream. So hopefully they can figure out a way to turn things around.
Yeah, I look at Fitbit, and I think they got the first mover advantage in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. which doesn't always mean that you win the long game, but there's no credible threat to them either. It's more about whether the market itself is just going to implode or if they can be the company that comes up with the way to revive the market before somebody else comes up with a way to revive the market. And Apple certainly is in on that as well. Jawbone is in on that. There's a lot of people trying to come up with that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. Namco founder Masaya Nakamura has died at 91. Nakamura was often called the father of Pac-Man for heading the company that brought engineer Toru Iwatani's creation to market in 1980. Nakamura founded Namco in 1955 with two mechanical horse rides on a department store rooftop. That's awesome.
I know. I'm a sucker for that story of like, he started with just two mechanical horses and launched an empire, including Pac-Man.
Only two mechanical horses to his name.
Yeah. And I do think it's unfortunate. I don't want to take anything away from Nakamura-san because he is the father of Pac-Man. But then what does that make Toru Iwatani? Is he the midwife of Pac-Man? Or
Well, you know, Nakamura-san helped him kind of see the vision out.
Yeah, no, and absolutely. Nakamura is the one who made it possible for Pac-Man to be created. And what a heck of a legacy. So
unbelievable.
Sad to see him passing. Dropbox is launching Paper globally Monday. This will be our, by my count, 18th app to be named Paper in history. It is a basic document editor. It's not actually an app. It's a basic document editor within the Dropbox system. It allows you to do collaboration, track your changes on a timeline. There's some project management features, some really cool ones in the works for assigning employees, doing some task management. Another feature is also being launched called Smart Sync. This is Dropbox Infinite, if you remember hearing that announced. Smart Sync allows speedier automatic syncing, eliminates storage requirements on the hard drive, so you don't have to reserve a bunch of space to keep all your Dropbox things. You don't have to do selective sync. It'll just be smart enough, they say, to automatically figure out what's going on there. Paper launches for all users in 21 language markets now, although you'll need an enterprise or business plan if you want to use the administrative features. And Smart Sync is only available as an early access program. You have to be a business or enterprise customer to get that.
This is fascinating to me because it finally feels like Dropbox and Google Drive / Google Docs are kind of really going head to head in a lot of ways, because use Google Drive as a document repository and use Google Docs to essentially fill that and use that as an access point to get those online documents. And Dropbox was always just that repository. And so now having that editing feature like kind of brings them nose to nose in a lot of ways.
And one of the reasons that I've wanted large hard drives on my laptops is wanting to have all of my Dropbox files locally so I could have offline access. Smart Sync is their attempt to say, you don't worry about that. You can have a smaller hard drive. It's fine. You'll still have access to all your files. Now, obviously not offline, but we'll be smart enough to make sure that the ones you access most often are the ones that are located on your hard drive when you need them. It's a lot of trust for me, though.
That's a lot of trust. I know. I similarly feel that kind of fear every time I use one of these services.
What do you think of the project management aspect of Paper?
I need to look at it more closely because I do love stuff like that. So I use a lot of different kinds of tools right now. I don't have one complete tool for everything I do in terms of keeping track of my documents and project management and task management. So I'll have to see what that offers. We use Google here at my company. We don't use Dropbox at all, though. So I think it'll probably, we're in that ecosystem of Google in terms of all of our emails and documents and things of that nature. So it would have to be really, really good for us to completely make the shift.
Well, we could try it out on Sword and Laser because we use Dropbox for that. And
That's
then if
true.
You love it, then you could be like, hey, guys, might want to look at this.
Yeah, check it out. The Wall Street Journal reports that TechCrunch has confirmed that Snap Inc., maker of Snapchat, will list its stock on the New York Stock Exchange. Woo! Recode's Kara Swisher reports that, according to sources, Snap will publicly file it late next week on pace for a March IPO. The company previously filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission in late 2016 to prepare for an IPO, but this will be the first public disclosure of its finances.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're going to be able to buy yourself some Snap stock.
Is it going to be Snap? March. Do you think they're going to get Snap?
As the code.
Yeah.
That has been, I read an interesting article about like the company that reserves the codes so that they can make sure that the companies get them and what you have to do to get your code. Mm-hmm. I think they will. It sounds
me
like they will. I thought you were saying, are you going to snap up some of their stock?
Are you going to snap?
I won't because I don't buy tech stocks.
That's right. Conflict of interest.
I mean, but if I didn't, would I? Yes, I think I might. And this is not a stock purchase recommendation. It is not a predictor of future results in any way. But it does seem like Snap is on the upswing. Whether it's going to have like a spike on its IPO is a whole different matter. Greg Sterling at MarketingLand has a column up posing the question of whether tech companies in the United States can remain neutral in the country's current political climate. Uber suspended surge pricing to New York's JFK airport over the weekend to avoid appearing to be profiting from protests there. However, at the same time that they did this, New York taxi drivers were engaging in a one-hour strike in support of protesters, so many looked at it as profiteering by Uber, and a delete Uber movement was started in response. In addition, Uber CEO Travis Kalanick is a member of the president's CEO advisory board. Conservative organizations in the past have organized boycotts of Amazon because Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post, Netflix for issues with a documentary about Syria. So it is increasingly becoming difficult for a company to go about its business in a way that doesn't offend someone. We'll talk a little bit about this delete Uber movement in the sense of whether, you know, how much it helps for you to vote with your dollars, so to speak. But just a reminder for folks who have a desire for wider political discussion on this show, Daily Tech News Show, we have kept throughout this entire crazy election and inauguration as a place away from politics. If you needed a break from all of that, the only politics we try to talk about on DTNS is when it bears on technology. So we talk about encryption when Apple was resisting a court case. We talk about net neutrality. We've talked about Ajit Pai as the new commissioner of the FCC. When it bears on your use of technology, we're going to talk about it. The rest of the time, we keep it out of the show, and we keep it out of the show on purpose. Do not take that as us not caring, and do not take that as you knowing what we think. Myself and the contributors and our producer, Roger Chang, all have different opinions about these sorts of things. And there are other places where you can go to find out those opinions. I do a show with Roger Chang, my producer, called East Meets West. Justin Robert Young does Politics, Politics, Politics.
Often angry on Twitter.
You can follow Veronica on Twitter. Scott Johnson does the morning stream. So Patrick Beja does a great show called The Phileas Club. There's lots of places to get that sort of stuff. But it's that same idea of, like, you can't stay neutral that made me want to tell people, like, just because we're not talking about it doesn't mean you know what we think about it or that we don't care.
Indeed. I approve the statement.
To bring it back to the delete Uber thing, like, how hard is it for a company now? Because Uber has a whole lot of other problems with it, right? They've been arrogant for a long time, and this may be reaping what they sowed a little bit in being so arrogant about things in the past. But if they didn't knock out surge pricing, they would have also been accused of profiteering, right?
And I mean, to go back to politics and technology, I mean, Brian Krzanich from Intel today, you know, sent out a big email to employees about immigration and that situation. But he also sits on the technology board for Trump. Right. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff at play here, and we will keep you abreast of it and try to refrain from sharing our more subjective opinions on the matter. You can, as Tom said, find that information elsewhere.
Let's talk coffee.
Okay. Starbucks has added a feature called My Barista to its app that lets you order and pay, by speaking or typing in natural language. 1,000 iOS customers will get access to the feature in a limited beta test. A phased rollout is planned through summer 2017. Starbucks also launched a reorder skill for Amazon Voice services to use AVS devices to order the usual as designated in the Starbucks app.
Yeah. So this is interesting to me in a couple of ways. One is the fact that you see Starbucks doing a traditional beta phased rollout of a feature. This is the kind of thing you expect on iOS or Android, right?
And they're like, I feel like this is highly unusual. I don't know if I've ever seen really a big company do a phased rollout so small before. I mean, this is a pretty small cohort. And I'm really curious to see, like, how the results are going to look. I mean, as a product manager, I'm like fascinated by this kind of stuff.
But yeah, by a traditionally non-technology company doing this.
Yeah, but you know, the Starbucks app, I got to say, I love it. I'm not a big Starbucks drinker. I'm kind of a coffee snob, which we'll learn more about later. But the app is really convenient. It works really well. They've integrated it across all of their stores. I mean, I was in Tahoe this weekend skiing, and I didn't have any cash or cards on me, but I happened to have my phone, and I was able to buy a hot chocolate because that is like the most first world problem of all time. But it worked the way it was supposed to, and they accepted it as payment. And you know, that convenience level is kind of what makes Starbucks such an amazing popular brand.
Yeah, I have to say, I am not someone
trying new things.
I am not someone who thinks Starbucks coffee is that good. It's not a prejudice against the company per se. It's just not my favorite coffee of the coffees that I usually have available. I will say that I have found myself going to their stores more because people will give me gift certificates. And then the gift certificates go in the app. And then the app is with me. And I'm saying, oh, well, you know what? I have a gift certificate. It'll essentially be free. So, okay. And now I'm going to want to go try out this chat bot. And mm-hmm. I'm gonna want to try talking to it, and I'm gonna want to try typing to it, and see if there are any differences. And another interesting thing in the article that I read here, I think it was in the TechCrunch article, was that they have had to figure out how to load balance because it might be in the article about Cafe X, because when they first launched their app as a way to order, so many people were using it that the baristas couldn't keep up with the number of orders coming in, because usually a line of people will kind of moderate how many orders are coming per second. But if everybody mm-hmm. can order at once, no matter where they are, there's no rate limiting there.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it seems like I really would like to know how they solve for that problem. I can imagine that maybe they have a dedicated person working online orders. And so they're able to kind of guess what that person's output is going to be and give, acceptable time frames for when your coffee will be ready to the customer. I think that would make a lot of sense, but you can't really factor in, I guess maybe they have a way to factor in live customers and be able to combo those things together. Maybe they can see the list of orders already up at that particular store and start merging those two lists in together to get an estimated time of finished coffee.
All right, let's actually extend the coffee conversation and talk about the robot making coffee at Cafe X. But real quick, to get all the tech headlines each day in less than 10 minutes, subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. All right, Cafe X is now open in San Francisco at the Metreon, not the Metreon, Metreon. I believe it's AMC Metreon, most late.
The AMC Metreon.
Is it the? The is back. Okay, it's the AMC Metreon. So hard to keep up. Anyway, this is the second location. There's also a location in the Hong Kong Science Park. That one's a little harder to get to, I guess. It's a little more exclusive. You have to work in the business park. Founded by Henry Hu. They're located in San Francisco. Their next location is planned for Fremont, California, so they're keeping going. But the main focus of this place is that a Mitsubishi six-axis industrial robot that they call Gordon prepares your coffee and, addressing that barista problem we mentioned earlier, can do 100 to 120 cups an hour, Veronica.
Mm-hmm. I have actually seen this thing in action. They were part of Jason Calacanis's launch incubator. And so they presented and did a little showcase at the launch conference last year. And I was also on board as one of the rotating advisors for that class of companies in the incubator. I don't have any stock in this. There's no conflict of interest here. I have nothing to do with them. But it was really fascinating to see how they built this thing and how they built the technology around it and the software. And it's definitely, it's coffee at, mass production levels, but it's better than what you would get out of a Keurig. It's like somewhere in between, in San Francisco.
Or that vending machine that has the poker on the bottom of the cups.
Yes, exactly.
It's definitely a few steps above that. Well, if you're wondering how this works, there's a company called WMF that makes these high-end coffee machines, and you'll see them sometimes, especially in airports and places like that. They produce good coffee. They're machine-made coffee, but they're good. They are not the same as having a Chemex-made, hand-drawn barista. But for machine-made coffee, they're quite acceptable. And the WMF coffee machines are networked, so they actually receive your order and prepare the order. The robot arm is simply grabbing the coffee, placing it on one of eight warmers, and then when you come up to retrieve your coffee, it puts it in the bin for you. On your side, what happens is you either use a kiosk in the restaurant or an app. You order the coffee, and when it's ready, they text you a code. You walk up to the counter, type in your four-digit code, and then the robot puts your coffee in the bay so that only you are getting your coffee. If you don't pick it up within 8 minutes of it getting made, they dump it. And they say they'll make a second one for you for free if you ran late unavoidably.
Yeah, they also, I thought they were doing some geofencing stuff where you can place the order on the app, and when the machine knows that you're within a certain distance, that's when it prepares it to make sure it's you know, ready to go and hot and fresh.
Yeah, it said in the Fast Company article that they do they are trying to work in some prioritization so that they make mm-hmm. the coffee for the person they know is in the restaurant because they ordered at a kiosk before the person who's still around the corner.
And that's interesting too, because the Melt here in San Francisco, I think they only have locations here in SF, uses similar technology to make sure that your grilled cheese is going to be hot and fresh when you're within like a one block radius of the store.
Well, and what's interesting about this too is that they're able to get you faster coffee, right? They're able to charge you less. It's only $2.25 for an espresso, $2.95 for a latte, which depending on where you are in the country may or may not sound like that good of a deal, but you're talking about $4 or $5 for that if you go to a nearby San Francisco location. So this is quite a discount. And one of the articles I read pointed out when you go to a coffee shop, and I'm not talking about like a four barrel or something really special, but you go to a Pete's or a Starbucks, your barista might be really good. They might have been doing it for a long time, or they might have just started that weekend and they're just not quite up to snuff yet.
No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works at those stores, Tom.
Not at a Starbucks?
Maybe at you're talking about Starbucks, not
that's
the third wave coffee.
I'm saying
boxes.
Not at four barrel or a place like that.
Not at four. Okay.
But at a Starbucks or a Pete's.
That's right.
If you go there, you're gonna run into somebody who's getting up to speed. So it depends on who's making your coffee. This is not going to be, and this is what I'm trying to say, this is not going to be as good as a Ritual, right? Where they're saying, look, we only hire the best people. We train them up. We do it right every time. It's not going to be as handcrafted as that, but it's going to be cheaper and it's going to be consistent because it's going to be made the same way every time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just looking for a cup of coffee or an espresso, like this is going to be a pretty good answer for you. If you're in a rush, if you're on the go, if it happens to be along your regular morning commute, like that's a huge time saver as opposed to having to go into a Starbucks or a Pete's or someplace like that, where you're potentially waiting in line if you didn't use the app to have, you know, standing in line behind people who are getting much more complicated drinks being made. Sometimes you just want a cup of coffee. I can totally relate to that.
Yeah. And these WMF machines, keep an eye out for them. Now that you know what they are, take a look at this article in our show notes. You'll see them everywhere.
And I mean, you've got a little bit of the wow factor here too. I mean, part of it is just the excitement of seeing the robot make people's coffee.
Yeah.
There's a bit of that going on here as well. And I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah. And like you said, there's lots of other businesses trying to take advantage of the things that we've learned about technology apps and applying them to other industries, specifically food. There's a place called, how do you say it? Is it East? Itza?
It's Itza.
Itza?
Yeah.
They make
Itza
quinoa-based meals, don't stop listening yet, that they use data science to make them taste as good as fast food. Now, you don't have to believe that that's true, but a lot of people say, yeah, no, they've done it. They make this taste like it shouldn't be good for me. And they do the same thing. They actually use humans to prepare the food, but you don't have to interact with humans. You just order from a kiosk or an app. I don't know if there's an app, but you order from a kiosk, right?
Yeah, there is. You can do it online. I think there's an app, and there's one actually in the FiDi here in San Francisco. I haven't tried it yet because it's a little bit further than I care to walk for lunch most days. But it is supposed to be pretty healthy, and you just go and you pick it up out of a box. Like you have a numbered area, and you go and you open it up, and you take your meal away.
Yeah.
And this is not too dissimilar from what they've been doing in Japan for ages and ages, where you make an order and you get the food comes out and you're just like, here's my hot lunch.
Yeah.
So it's optimizing for speed, efficiency, and also health.
And the twist is they're using data science to monitor, like, what are the flavors that people respond to? What are the things that taste like a good level of fat but don't actually contain the level of fat, so that we can mimic all those buttons that make us want to eat junk food but deliver health food. And you've eaten it. How is it?
I haven't eaten it. It's too far away.
Oh,
but I'll do this. I'll try to eat it this week, and I'll report back for the next show.
I misunderstood. I thought you had at least gone once. Okay. Yeah. Let us know.
No, I haven't. I'm very
lazy.
Or
anybody else. Anybody else who's tried this or the robot, send it to us, feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. All right. Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Let's get a few messages of the day out of the way. First of all, Mike in Australia writes, I use my Surface Pro 3 about 50-50 in tablet and laptop mode. When I'm doing uni work, I'm often either typing in laptop mode or reading or marking up in drawboard tablet mode. Other times I'll use it when gaming for notes and maps, so that's usually tablet mode. My wife uses one for work. One of the things they sell or consult on support is eye tracking hardware and software for people with disabilities and for movie and TV consumption, as well as normal business use. So it's used in both modes very frequently as well. It's entirely possible that Australians are just weird in this case, or it seems far less likely that in this house we're tech edgy cases. But he's trying to make the case that we use the hybrid functions of these hybrid machines a lot more than maybe I was indicating on a previous show. You don't have a hybrid, do you?
I don't.
I do. Because I was saying on a previous show, is like, I've got one. I've got a Surface Pro. I just don't pull it off into tablet mode very often. But maybe if I had a Surface Pro 3, I don't know.
Yeah, you guess you never know until you try.
You just don't. Finally, our boss, Rob, in Damascus, wrote in and said, I work for a large multinational company that often hosts data for our customers. We are in a constant effort to expand our physical presence with data centers in new locations to allow companies and governments who are bound by legal restrictions regarding where their data may be kept to use our services. Most of these laws require local data to be kept within the jurisdiction are predicated on the notion that providing for that data to be covered by local privacy law. If a court were to overturn this week's decision, this is the decision that said Microsoft doesn't have to turn over data in an Irish server based on a U.S. warrant. If a court were to overturn this week's decision and allow U.S. companies to be subpoenaed for data held in foreign data centers by U.S. entities, or really any company withstanding in the U.S., I can very quickly see away from doing business with American companies because of this threat to local protection over data held locally. Many countries, the EU in particular, have a stringent privacy protection in place specifically in reaction to American overreach and data collection by law enforcement. If I agreed to be a Microsoft customer on the condition that my data being held in an Irish data center, and I found that data still subject to FBI review, he used diddling instead of review, but he said, I would probably stop being a Microsoft customer and go with someone local. So yeah, just someone who is affected by this outside the U.S. saying it will definitely make a difference over which companies we decide to do business with. Thank you, Rob in Damascus, for writing in on that. And thank you, Veronica Belmont, for being on the show. What do you got going on to tell folks about?
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, you can always follow my angry rants on Twitter, at Veronica. I'm actually trying to stay away from Twitter a little bit these days, so I'm a little more quiet over there than I've previously been. Mental health stuff, you know, just taking some time, trying not to constantly be raging at the world. And, of course, Sword and Laser. This week we're going to be interviewing author Brian McClellan. Nope, I'm wrong. It's going to be Bradley Bulow.
Bradley Bulow.
Yep. Are you better? Better.
Bradley.
Find out how to pronounce Bradley's last name properly on the next Sword and Laser.
But we are having Brian McClellan on next month, I believe.
Yes.
Good authors.
Exactly. We've got them all coming up. So check them out at swordandlaser.com. All right. Before we go, I'm going to replace my normal end of show regimen and just say, no matter what you think about any kind of policy or law, there are definitely people in need of help. There are children who are in refugee situations. There are mothers who want to get them help. And there are organizations to help them. I recommend rescue.org. It was founded in 1933 at the request of Albert Einstein to help refugees from Europe. It was essential in getting Europeans out of Vichy France and Nazi-occupied France. It has worked with refugees from the Korean War, from the Vietnam War, from wars in Africa, Southeast Asia, and of course the Middle East. And they continue to do their work. One of the reasons I like this organization is they use 92.6%, almost 93% of their resources on programs. It's one of the highest percentages of resources used on actual programs by a charity rather than paying staff or doing fundraising with that money. So your money goes to help people. Again, no matter where you fall in the political spectrum, maybe try to help somebody out a little bit who is definitely in need, rescue.org. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow to explain IPv6 to you with Patrick Beja and our guest Ethan Banks. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Boom. All right. Good
show. I for one welcome our caffeine overlords.
Nice. Always good with an overlord joke.
Mm-hmm.
Robot machine is full of beans.
That's me.
The intractable V. That's you.
That's also me.
I'm off and angry on Twitter. That's definitely you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. These are all me.
People make fun of me for being angry, but you are an angry person. If a paper app falls in the woods, ellipses.
I'm not an angry person. I have angry perspectives.
Same as you, Roger. You're not actually an angry person.
No, I'm vindictive. We're on the stock exchange.
Oh, snap. We're on the stock exchange. Nice.
That's funny, too.
Results are not so fit. Ah, I want to be fit. You know who works at Fitbit? I need to check up with him. It's Michael Hand. Paper is popular. Turns out paper is...
I get it.
Snap. There's no response. Snap, get snap. Coffee. It's a funny, desperate cry for caffeine. What is that? Whoa, these are all Stephanie Ray.
I kind of want robot machine is full of beans.
Okay, robot.
What do you guys think?
Who says robot anyway?
Me, I say it. That's why they're making fun of me.
We could change it to robot. I still like it.
It's an old. Is it an instance joke? I don't even know.
Robot
it's
arms.
Like robot arms.
That's a TMS joke.
It is okay. TMS joke. Yeah. It's a frog pants joke.
Yes, exactly. Robot.
It covers much ground.
It does. Robot.
ROBUTT. Robot.
All right. I have to go back to work.
All right,
okay.
Guys.
Thank you, Veronica.
I'll see you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Oh yeah.
You know about Monday as soon as I know.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, there's an event for the project that I'm managing. One of our big projects that needs managing next Monday, so I have to be there
because you're a project manager, and it's a project, you'll need to manage it.
I'm not a project manager. I'm a product manager.
Well, then you don't need to go.
Different jobs.
Then why do you have to go?
Did I say project manager?
You said it was a project.
Damn it. I'm product managing never mind. I'm going to go.
Okay.
Go back to managing things.
Go manage a product somewhere.
Bye.
Thanks, Veronica.
I just need something to inflate my time.
Mm-hmm.
Roger's camera's clever. Oh, clearer than the others.
No, it's not.
Well, no, it's not.
it's not. It's probably just your, I don't know. It may be perception or something, but it's definitely not.
Oh, sorry. I was just reading the chat.
Yes, I saw.
No, it's not. I like how quickly you jumped on her. Like a leopard that pounces from the tree. He leaps.
Well, it's only because we spent... How long making sure that this shot down here
was
pretty good?
8, 9, 10 minutes.
We spent some effort on it. I'm just saying. And so Roger and I made sure that this shot was clear.
I am not. I'm using a Logitech. What is this?
Is it a C920 or is it different?
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, it's one of my least favorite things to get into troubleshooting the show on the show.
Logitech. You know, they say people who can't let things go usually have really good memories.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so hard to let go, because you can never remove that impression from your mind.
I don't know why you're bringing that up right now, Roger.
Everyone that's ever wronged me is indelibly marked in my brain memory somehow.
What made you think of that, though?
Oh, no, about me being vindictive. I'm not vindictive.
Oh, no,
I'm not angry. No. I just have incredibly good memory for people who've wronged me.
You just have a very good memory, yeah.
They said, yeah, that was the thing. It's just like they just can't let it go because they always remember it. And it's always like it's always fresh. It's, yeah.
Yeah, BioCal says, and yet Schwood created an empire on troubleshooting online. Except he had someone else to help do it. I just need to have more people.
More people.
Don't make Roger angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. Chang Hulk.
Well, as I get older, I'm generally a little less liable to do anything because it's too much effort.
You mean anything vindictive?
Yeah. Like, I used to have detailed plans written out, like what I would do to some people.
Yeah.
Just anyone who wronged me. And then I said, this takes so much work. It does. It just takes. It's like, man, for all the stuff I have to buy.
It's true. Like, a lot of things that used to really bother me when I was younger don't bother me anymore, mostly because I'm just like, you know what? I just don't have the energy to be bothered by that.
Well, like, I had a whole thing about, like, how to stake out a person and figure out what the routine was. And then, you know, it was a multi-stage step. It would be something I would implement over a course of 6 to 8 months. You can't accuse me of being rash.
No, you're very methodical, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, I would. And the thing is, I didn't want to get caught, so I had all these steps to ensure that whatever, you know, pieces of evidence I would keep to a minimum.
It's almost sociopathic.
No, it's not sociopathic. Sociopathic means I can't feel empathy, right? I feel empathy.
You feel bad but they're gonna sure doing it?
No, because I haven't done anything yet.
Sounds like a lack of empathy. I don't know.
Although I will admit that my favorite South Park episode is the one where Cartman gets back at that bully. Like, he secretly grinds up his parents as part of a bowl of chili. It's really creepy. But I loved it.
That's a cartoon.
Yes. I guess because you're... that's it. Scott Tenorman. Thanks, Captain Jack.
Scott Tenorman? Who's Scott Tenorman?
That was Eric Cartman in South Park's nemesis. He was trying to train a pony to bite off his genital by using a carrot.
Oh, man. Why are you going to talk about stuff like that?
Oh, sorry.
It sounds horrible.
That's a great episode.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, TextJeb just expressed my exact feelings.
The list is long and the day is short, so I sort of just shrugged my shoulders and said,
What?
I said, the list is long, but the days are short. And I said, it's way too much work.
What is?
To do all that.
To do
to
all
plan
what?
All the... I went,
oh,
to
you
plan
went
all
back
my
to the revenge
bench.
Topic. I didn't realize.
Yeah. I have a thing for revenge movies.
I know you do. It's a little odd.
Why? Is it odd? If it wasn't so weird, they wouldn't make them. Right?
Really? Because someone makes something, it can't be odd? Let's look at the rest of the internet.
Hey, you had not Judd Nelson. Who's the other guy? The English guy. Pretty good looking. And then he kind of went bald and then suddenly had hair again. Jude Law.
Oh, what? Jude Law went bald?
Yeah, for a while, it seemed like. And then he got hair again.
He's not that old. Is he?
You don't have to be old to be bald.
That's true.
I knew a guy from high school who had the unfortunate... Well, I shouldn't say unfortunate. It's really just a... It's really just a societal.
Yeah, Jude Law's 44, so.
It's older than me.
I don't know where you're getting this. He went bald and then stopped.
Here, I'll send
I'm
you.
Looking at. It just looks like. I don't know. I'm just tired of people picking on other people.
Okay.
Like, how would you feel if you were Jude Law?
Really wealthy and pretty.
But that doesn't make it okay to be picked on.
How many times I just mentioned him once? Like today. I've never had an ongoing dispute with Jude Law.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times.
Oh, yes.
I started watching The Young Pope, speaking of Jude Law. He's very good in it. Did you love Kill Bill? Eisting wants to know.
Yes, I loved Kill Bill.
Yeah.
I didn't know why it was two movies, though. I still don't know why it was two movies.
Because it was too long.
Look, Howells has a good robot.
I know. He said I should stop picking on you. I'm sorry. I'll stop picking on you for being vindictive, picking on Jude Law, talking about people getting hit in the genitals. How rude of me. This is why people love the pre-show or the post-show or whatever.
Listen, Jude Law's a great actor.
I know, I should be careful. Roger will get his revenge on me. You're right, KV87. Jude Law's going to get his revenge on you, Roger.
I think he already has. He's like super successful. I think he has a pretty...
They say the best revenge is good living.
Right? He is not divorced. Pretty good. Falling down that trap. No, Billy Zane. No. I'm trying to think of the last movie I saw Billy Zane in. I think the last one was it Titanic? Wasn't he in Titanic?
Was he in Titanic? I never really finished watching Titanic all at once, so I forget a lot of that. I think I've eventually saw the whole thing, but not all at a go.
Oh, he divorced. Oh, Jude Law divorced. All right, he just had a standard Hollywood life.
He's really good in The Young Pope. We're going to talk about it on Cord Killers.
It's going to be a papal discussion.
Yes. It might turn encyclical.
An interesting premise for a series of novels. What if the Catholic Church invented space travel?
Oh, well, there is that. That exists.
Oh, no, really?
There's like a several, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a canticle for Leibowitz is a little bit along those lines, but also, we read one for Sword and Laser, and now I'm blanket on the name of it.
Crucifix in the Cosmos?
No, I gotta finish putting in this metadata and then I'll look it up. It's basically Jesuits did first contact.
They built a series of missions on different planets.
It was Jesuits in space.
Space robes.
The Sparrow.
Oh.
The Sparrow by Mary Doria Russell. It's really good, too.
I'll have to watch it. Oh, I mean, read it. Watch it. Ah, so bad. Ancient Pope aliens. Ah.
Mm, The Young Pope's good because it's not what I expected. And they bill it as like, oh, a young American gets elected pope. What'll happen when he upends the order? And I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, could be good. It's not what you think.
Does it have conspiracies in it?
Yes, for sure. But they're, you know, they're very believable conspiracies. It's not like Dan Brown or anything. All right. I've almost got everything uploaded. That robot machine is full of beans.
Robot. Every butt has a robot.
Publishing now. Woohoo! All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. It's nice to be back downstairs. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.